Right, Ninja Glenn Mack. Now, Saturday morning, 94 WIP. We got Sixers later today. Amy Fadul is going to join us at noon. Talk about that. She does a great job on NBC Sports Philadelphia pre and post. Actually, her TV partner, Jim Lynham, is going to join us tomorrow after the Sixers game today. We are talking a lot about the NFL draft. We've got the Phillies in the equation as well. There is a Flyers, a very serious story with the Flyers I want to bring up by the end of the show. And Jay Wright on the agenda. But, Ray, right now, it is time for This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, brought to you by Shive Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Check out their throwback apparel at their Center City location or at shivesports.com. All right, Ray, Sixers being the story of the day, I decided we are going back to April 24th, 2001, one day shy of 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Sixers-Pacers, first round of the NBA playoffs. 3 days earlier, the Sixers, you remember, Sixers had finished first in the conference in the regular season, lose game one at home, 79-78. I remember that game. I remember nobody could make a shot. Iverson that day, 7-for-19 with 16 points. It's a horrible game. But game two, that, my friend, is a little bit different.
First appearance of the night. From the outside, Iverson. He's on fire.
Starting to feel it.
Geiger, 15 feet away, back to Iverson. Out of Iverson again. Just about a handoff there. Iverson put it up. And
oh my!
I was going to say finally a miss, but it went down.
Oh, my goodness. See, Iverson just feeling it. Shoots it short. Bounces off the backboard, goes sky high, and drops. And you see Iverson thanking whoever will listen.
Allen Iverson, 18 points, third quarter alone, 41 for the night. 16 points is all he had in game one.
Well, Ray, actually 19 points in the third quarter of that game. 45 points for the game. The Sixers win it. And I think it was 116-102. I should look it up. And tie it up. And go on to win the best of five in four. And I will tell you, I'm really hoping this year is that long run, because that year, I wasn't here in 82, 83.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here in 86. That year was the most fun, exciting, magnetic, just drew everybody in year of basketball I've ever seen in this town.
It was. It was really... You said it. It was fun. It was just fun. Iverson was one of the most electrifying athletes we've seen come through this city in any sport, really. Frustrating at times, both on the floor and off.
Off, definitely.
As you know,
ask our friend Billy King.
when we had Larry Brown on for Tell Us Your Story. I mean, he talked about what it was like to try and coach the guy, but as a talent, oh my. And really, in many ways, a great fit for the fans of Philadelphia. I mean, this is a passionate town, you know, and they like athletes that lay it on the line. And, you know, maybe not at practice, but certainly in the real games, I mean, he gave you 110% effort. And that night was just an awesome, awesome display of basketball. To think that a guy his size in this era of the NBA could be that dominant is pretty rare.
That night, April 24th, 2001, he plays 46 minutes of the 48. 15-for-27 on field goals, 3-for-7 on three-pointers, 12-for-14 on free throws, 9 assists, 45 points. And by the way, Reggie Miller, no slouch himself.
No.
44 points in the loss. It was a great game, and it was a really fun series. I mean, the Sixers win it, and then was Milwaukee next? I forget the order of who they beat. Toronto, Milwaukee, and then on to the Lakers. It was such a fun postseason. Remember, people were driving around with Sixers flags on their cars.
On the antennas,
yeah. Right?
All over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. Yeah, they really took over the city. I mean, everywhere you went, there were people had Sixers banners in their windows. The little flags on the car antennas, everywhere. I mean, it was just a very, very very exciting time.
Pat Croce came into the studio when we were doing the show. I was doing middays with Anthony and got a tattoo that year. and people were doing the dreadlocks for Iverson. Everybody was doing everything. It was great. Maybe this team catches that wave, and maybe the fan base. Listen, the fan base is involved in the Sixers. I don't mean to suggest not, but nothing was like that year.
Right.
And I would love to see that come back, and I would love to see Embiid have that kind of extended postseason.
Yeah, I guess it seems like it's almost a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be the MVP.
Which fuels him more.
It kind of seems to be driving him, but. I mean, Game 3 in the Toronto series, if you're talking about an MVP performance, there it was.
Yeah. That was a I hope that's one of those game-winning shots that is remembered for years to come because it's significant along the way, right?
Right.
I mean, if they lose in the next round, then it's kind of forgotten. If they go on extended run, they get to the finals, it's like, yeah, and, you know, remember that shot? Boy, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Maybe that shot will be the equivalent of the Jake Elliott 61-yard field goal.
There you go. Well, that would be okay. Let's talk to John in Manayunk. What's on your mind today, John?
Hey, Ray, it's time for the final Matizera punter drift for all the
Hey,
year.
John, do me a favor. Are you on a speakerphone or something? It'd be better if you pick up the...
No, I'm not on speaker. Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
A little bit.
Sort of.
Yeah, not great.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going about Matizera. I was on the site, and they said he might go in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading up on him. He's got a little versatility. He can kick field goals and kickoff. What do you think?
The punter, you mean?
Yes, Matizera.
You do know. I don't mean to. You know, we've not that you're compelled to listen, but we've discussed this a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay, and then I am the world's biggest Matizera fan.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
There you go, Ray. Fourth round, we're locked in. Come on, Ray.
I don't argue against that.
There you go. Ray's in.
If the fifth round they got three picks, I would certainly take him in the fifth round. I would use you got three picks there. I don't know if he's going to get to the fifth round.
Not.
I think it's more likely he goes in the fourth. But he's got a huge leg, and. The other part about it is he's also got some touch. I mean, he's not a guy that just booms it and kicks it through the end zone and brings the ball out to the 20. I mean, he understands the idea of direction. He has a powerful leg, but he also understands directional kicking. He killed 37 punts inside the 20. So he's kind of he's one of those punters that understands the total game and can be a real weapon. So you don't often see punters. I mean, he'll be the highest punter drafted in quite a while. He's not going to go. He's not going to go Thursday night, and he's not going to go Friday night. But I think he will probably go pretty early on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One more point, real quick, on the draft to get a little more serious. Hopefully, you can hear me okay. So I think this is going to be the last year of Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and Barnett. I think we have to do some backfill the interior defensive line. I'd love to get one of those big Georgia guys.
Yeah. Boy, you do listen to the show, Jordan Davis.
Yeah, you got two of them. I mean, Davis is the number one, obviously, and will be the number one. Just a question of how high he goes. But they've also got Devontae Wyatt, who played next to him, that actually could probably be a swing guy. He could probably play end too. I mean, he's probably more of a natural inside player. But if you wanted to move him on the outside, play him on the edge, I mean, he could probably do that too. I'm still going to stick with my prediction that. Seven Georgia players will go in the first two rounds. I think seven, and they'll all be from the defensive side. But I think seven are going to go in the first two rounds. They're that good.
Eagles got to get one of them.
Jordan Davis
works
for me. He certainly caught my eye in Atlantic City.
All right, Ray. Coming up, always Saturday around 11:20, we do what we're watching and. Often you try to recommend a new movie. I try to recommend a new TV show. Actually, tomorrow you're going to review a movie that you just went out and watched. So we'll save that one.
Okay.
But today, kind of a special what we're watching with a guest because the HBO series Winning Time, which is based on the LA Lakers Showtime thing, is both a national sensation, extremely popular, and has become extremely controversial in terms of its realism, and it has sparked lawsuits. Jack McCallum, who is among the preeminent basketball writers in this country forever, covered all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's going to give us a perspective, what's real, what's not, what's fugazi. So I'm looking forward to a special visit from Jack McCallum. 215-592-9494 with Ray Dinge. I'm Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP.
Well, basketball playoffs.